time for the NFL on MSG, Giants Training Camp live from Quest Diagnostic Training Center in East Rutherford. It's fueled by Hess, and we welcome you just outside the training camp fields of the New York Giants. Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Crispino. We're with you every time the Giants practice at 6 p.m. We cover the day in practice and get you caught up on what happened over the weekend if they played a game, and they did. They won again, defeating the Pittsburgh Steelers 20-16. I'm joined by Roman Oben. And, Roman, they had the day off yesterday, the Giants, more or less, and they come back on Monday without pads. Had to feel good, though, to come back 2-0, even though it's only preseason.
Well, you play the game, and that's good for the team's confidence. But you play the game Saturday, Sunday, weightlifting, corrections, and then you have the rest of the day off. And then Monday is really the first day to come back and really start to get back to work again. Obviously, it's still training camp, so there's still a lot of work to do. Some guys are out, but a majority of the guys are back today getting ready to play again.
And because it's training camp, you can be a little patient. The Giants have three more preseason games to look at players. We had some injuries. Players have been out and off the field. That was, you know, pretty much the story again today. A couple of hamstrings there for Holiday and Grimble. Peyton Hill is still out with that ankle. Most notably, though, Victor Cruz and Jarrell Jernigan out with knee issues, but they're not serious. Tom Coughlin talked about it after practice and said he expects to see them on the field tomorrow. What the coach did see today on the field was Odell Beckham, the wide receiver, the rookie from LSU, and that was a good sight because the Giants are hoping for big things from him. He's got breakaway speed. He's got great hands. He's also got hamstring issues lately, and you hate to see it. You don't want to see it. You want him on the practice field, but you have to deal with it.
Well, having hamstring problems as a fast guy injury, I've never had a hamstring issue being a lineman, but again, it was encouraging to see Odell Beckham out there doing a lot of the one-on-one drills, you know, just learning how to come off his break. You know, getting closer and closer to full speed. He didn't do any team period, but at least he's getting closer to joining the team and doing some full activity. And you'd like to say hopefully he can get at least two preseason games in before it's all said and done.
Yeah, Coach Coughlin said after practice that he expects to see more of him, maybe some team workouts tomorrow. And then he didn't make any statement about him playing on the weekend or not, but I think two games in the preseason would be good for Odell Beckham. Now, the Giants are 2-0. They had a game-winning drive against Pittsburgh. They needed it to win the game. Curtis Painter led the way, and here's his take on what happened in that final drive.
We definitely did some things well. You know, we were able to have a nice, successful drive there. So, you know, obviously it helped, ended up being, you know, the winning drive. So I think it was good for us to see.
Not easy to accomplish that with the third stringers late in the game when there's some pressure on, and they were able to do it. What did they do well?
Well, they were in rhythm, and, you know, Curtis Painter's been in the league 5 years. He's a veteran, so he's good to have that type of leadership in the group. But to see them march up and down the field, you talk about some of the limited reps they get, but they were in rhythm, timing. He comes out of his breaks. He gets rid of the ball quickly. That's one thing he does well, and that really suits this offense of Ben McAdoo.
So if you're an offensive player, you're third string right now, and you're in training camp, what can you do to get some kind of rhythm in practice so that when you get in a game and have an opportunity, you produce results?
Well, it's really about the mental reps. And obviously in that game, you had the lateral fumble that was returned back for a touchdown. So during the week, you have to get the mental reps. Whenever first or second group is in there, you're still in there, but mentally, the film, the things off the field. So you will get your chances. Again, it's preseason. This is the closest thing to any game situations you can get to. Coming in the fourth quarter, having to win a game, I mean, that's what it takes. So, and that shows a lot for what the coaches expect from a guy.
Painter was practicing with the twos today as the Giant quarterback, backing up Eli Manning. He also had the nice throw for the touchdown to win the game against Pittsburgh and went to Corey Washington, a guy who's been raising some eyebrows around here as a pretty good receiver in training camp. Here he is on that final drive and how it all came together.
It was me and the ball because the cornerback, he was kind of holding me. So I had to, like, shed him off. And once I know I had him on my backside shoulder, I could adjust to the ball and make a play on it. But the coach, he called a fly route. So then I saw the height of the corner. I was like, okay, quarterback's going to come to me. I'm ready to make a play.
Yeah, no, he's doing a great job. You know, he's a big target. You know, it's easy for a quarterback to throw to the big guys like that, and he does a great job of being physical and going up and getting balls that are, you know, thrown to him. So, yeah, he continues to do a great job.
He stands 6'4", 215. Here's the catch. Held the defender off, made the play. Is what we're seeing right there, is that for real? Can he do that in an NFL regular game?
Well, he had a touchdown the opening day at a first preseason game in Buffalo. He did it again last week, and And I just love how fluid he is and knows how to use his body, takes his body and puts it between the defender, catches the ball, looks really effortless. And the fact that this guy came from a Division II program and he's able to come in and grasp these concepts, and they put a lot on him mentally, but he's responded very well thus far.
Newberry College, North Carolina, talked to Jerry Reese. He said, I know it's in North Carolina. I used to cover that area. I got to look it up on a map to make sure where it is. But he's a Division II, and he's been very impressive. The question now is, and we put it to Washington, what's he got to do to make this team?
I don't know. You know, I'm taking it day by day. I think I need to go on special teams, make some plays on special teams. And if I do that, I got a good chance of making the team. I got Victor Cruz helping me in the playbook and the guys staying on me, you know, going out here making plays and, you know, just studying. Looking at Victor Cruz, the first and second team, just doing what they do and perfect my craft.
Coaches love to hear wide receivers say special teams. I got to play good on special teams.
Yeah, well, and obviously he's not going to be the number one target on opening day. But you look at him, he got some reps with the first group with Cruz and Jernigan being out, and he's just showing his maturity. But again, the special teams, whether it could be a gunner, kickoff coverage, punt coverage, any of those things are going to help trying to make that fifth or sixth receiver spot, depending on how many they keep, and he's got to continue to practice well.
Yeah, he had a big practice today on Monday, made some great catches. Tom Coughlin afterwards saying he goes and gets it. He's a guy, when you throw it right in his area, he's going to make catches. So he has been impressive. That's Corey Washington. Now, the best part of that game Saturday for me was Rashad Jennings breaking a 75-yarder for 6 points. Love to see that. Here he is breaking it down himself afterwards.
You know, Eli made sure we was in the right play. Perfect. And offensive line beat the double team. Puller came around and put a body on a body, gaping hole, gave an opportunity for the back to be one-on-one. So one-on-one battles in the open field, you got to win those. And that's what I did, and the rest was just a race.
Jennings weighs 235, Roman, but he wears it well. He carries it well.
Hey, and 235 pounds, once you get about 15 yards ahead of steam, that's hard to stop. And you know, you can't design a 73-yard run, but when you get a hat on a hat, you get the double teams. You had Mosley come around pulling, open up that big hole, and Jennings was through there, and 73 yards later in the end zone. This O-line is still gelling, but Jennings is a guy, veteran guy, who can really – he's like a do-what-it-takes guy, and he's very versatile. But this really helps the running game tremendously when you can have those kind of big plays on the ground.
And when you see him run in practice, when he breaks through the first line of defense, he explodes. He explodes. How important is it for that giant running game to get going this year?
It's very, very important. I mean, you talk about the running game setting the place for play action, making you a lot less predictable. Again, you can't design a big run. You want to get 4 yards at a time or what have you. But when the safeties and linebackers creep up, then you have the big plays downfield.
It opens up so much for the Giants offense if they can run the football. And Rashad Jennings looks like he can run the football. We'll have more on the first team offense. We continue with Giants training camp live from Quest Diagnostics Training Center. It's fueled by Hess. We'll find out exactly what the first team's offense has to get going as they move forward to week number 3 of the preseason. That's next.
Okay, look, congratulations. Congratulations. We finished the game. We finished it on offense. We finished it on defense. We finished it on special teams. And we got the win, we got a turnover, and we took the ball away. We won the football game. Again, we'll make the corrections with a win. We'll get our daubers up, and we'll get ready to go next week again. Outstanding job. Good win. Congratulations, Giants. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Good to win. That's what we're here for. We came to win. We won. Let's clean it up, but we won. Let's have a team. 1, 2, 3.
Giants training camp live here from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. It's fueled by Hess. We're back. Mike Crispino, Roman Oben. Always good to win. When you got to go back and look at your mistakes, after you won, it feels a little better, does it not?
Yeah, 100%. And you can build on the positives, the things that have happened in after a victory.
All right. The Giants were not good offensively. They were a little sloppy. How much concern is there for this first team's productivity in the first two games?
I think just from my experience in trying to understand this offense earlier on, it's going to look like it's dinks and dunks, and you're going to run the ball, and it's really about timing and rhythm and just really patience, that all the things you've worked on, OTAs, mini camp, all those things have to come to fruition on Sundays. And obviously, you got to protect the quarterback. But again, I talked to Ben McAdoo at length, and he said, look, it's timing, it's patience. Everything's moving forward, but obviously you'd like to see some downfield throws and things like that that'll give coaches, players, and obviously fans some optimism about this season.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants want to reveal too much about this offense yet. No. Maybe next week, maybe the following week against the Jets. But Coach Coughlin's always been a stickler on the way to play this game, and he had some serious comments about some of the things that his offense did poorly.
Didn't like a lot that went on. Didn't like the penalties. Didn't like the turnovers. Didn't like the muffed punt. Didn't like the NASA lateral. It was, I think it was awful close, but they called it a fumble, so what are you going to do?
So there's a lot of didn't likes in there, Roman. Obviously, Coach Coughlin, I think most coaches in this league do not like sloppiness, even if it's in a preseason game.
Well, first of all, ball security is huge, so you've got to protect the football. That's one thing you can control. And obviously, some of the pre-snap penalties and any offsides, false starts, procedural things, those are things you can control as well. And then you've got some of these new rules, you know, the receiver DB rule, that's going to be enforced heavily. So the lateral, you don't want to leave it up to the referees, the officials, to make that kind of a call. But you've got to play smarter, and this is why you have these preseason games. So I think they're heading in the right direction. But, again, that's something you don't want to see the next preseason game.
All right, now, you like vanilla ice cream, I think.
Love it.
I do, too. But not in offense. And the Giants have been vanilla these first couple of preseason games. Coach Coughlin talking about the fact that are they holding things back on the offensive side of the ball so far?
Well, there's some of that. Some of that goes into the thinking. But overall, what you're seeing is you have very early in training camp installations, and you really don't do a lot of game planning. You just set, you know, okay, here's what's in at this point in time. This is what we'll run in the game, and that's how you do it.
So here it is graphically, Eli Manning in the first couple of games in his 12th season, 6 of 9, 43 yards, no touchdowns, couple of sacks. I mean, those are numbers that are not strong, obviously, but you know what? They won a couple games. They didn't show much. Here's another look at Eli in action, first against Buffalo. What do you think? Has it been just vanilla? That's really what's going on?
Well, I think at this point you have to describe it as low volume but high in creativity. They're expecting the guys to do a lot, and you really are trying to see what kind of combinations you're going to have in terms of tight end, fullback, receivers. Obviously, being healthy is a key. The guys that are really going to get it done for 16 weeks on Sunday. So while you're not seeing the full gamut of offensive plays in the playbook, you are seeing what's the foundation of what's going to have to be successful. There are some plays you're going to have to run successfully every Sunday, no matter what. And that's what you're seeing right now.
All right. We're looking ahead now for the next couple of weeks. They have the Colts at Indianapolis, then the Jets game here. Here's Eli Manning on how important these next couple of weeks are for the Giants.
Yeah, you know, I think this next week will be good. Playing on the road, with, you know, where you have to, you know, get into different snap counts. Another 3-4 defense, which is good. So, you know, we don't get to play against a 3-4 with our defense much. I thought we got a little experience with Pittsburgh. So going against Indianapolis. So these games are important to get those gets for me to get a live rush and you know, movement in the pocket and those type of things and reacting where everything's real. So these next weeks in practice and games will be very important for us.
So how important is it for Eli himself to have a big game here in the next couple weeks?
Well, Eli Manning's got to captain this ship. And obviously, you know, you look in years past where a low-volume preseason, you get the benefit of the doubt because you know what's going to happen during regular season. But, again, learning a new offense, all that stuff's been said. But this is a big week, I think, that Eli has to make a bigger step to prove that he's really can lead the ship and, you know, minimize the turnovers and things like that last year. You're going on a true road game with the Colts in the bubble. The Bills wasn't really a lot of noise, so that's another indication of playing well on the road, and that's going to start on Saturday night.
Well, if anybody can grasp the concepts of this offense quickly, it's Eli Manning. We'll find out against the Indianapolis Colts on the weekend. When we return, he's 21 years old. He's a pretty good defensive end already out of Texas A&M. Paul Dottino talks with Demontre Moore when we come back on Giants Training Camp Live from Quest Diagnostics Training Center. It's fueled by Hess. Welcome back to Giants Training Camp Live. It's fueled by Hess, and we're here live at Quest Diagnostics Training Center. In East Rutherford, where the Giants go at it every day on that practice field. This week, Monday through Thursday, they will hold practice sessions, and we'll be with you at 6 p.m. here on MSG for the live half-hour show. Mike Crispino with you. And last year, the Giants did not make the playoffs. They couldn't find their pass rush most of the year. They couldn't put pressure on quarterbacks on a regular basis. It figures to get better this year. They're deeper in the secondary. They got more linebacking help. And they have a man named DeMontre Moore who could be a big factor for them on the defensive line. Here he is with Paul Dottino.
And it's great to talk to DeMontre Moore because, quite frankly, Coach has a lot of things on your plate this year as you step up into your second season. What are your goals, realistically, jumping from a rookie to year number two?
Honestly, my goals are kind of personal, but I feel like, honestly, the most important goal is to get better, be better than what I was last year, and just, take the opportunity of everything that presents itself.
From the things you did in the offseason, you've seen some preseason snaps. I'm sure you'd like to see more, but what have you been able to translate to the field in terms of that improvement specifically?
I'd probably say my run technique, I'm a lot better as far as technique-wise, and then also being bigger and stronger. I'm probably going to say that's going to be the most improvement.
There has been some talk, as you know, Michael Strahan went into the Hall of Fame. That was a great thrill just a short time ago that he and you have had some conversation. What have you learned from your chats with him?
A lot of things. Just being a better football player, just being a better man in general. He's just telling me to take advantage of all my time as far as just studying film, meeting people, greeting people, and, you know, just being the best person you could be.
I'm curious, the lineage here between Michael and Justin Tuck and Osi Yemenyura, over the last several years, there have been some really big-time defensive ends here. Does that kind of weigh on your mind a little bit, understanding the kind of role and shoes that you have to fit into?
It lets you know that there's a good history and tradition here, but also at the same time, it's not about fitting into somebody's shoes. It's about being the best person I could be, being the best DeMontre Moore, and, you know, performing the best of my ability, and everything to take care of it. I trust in the staff. The staff, they've proven that they have brought people in and they can handle it. So, obviously, they have faith in me. And so, you know, my thing is just going out there and trying to improve.
Besides your own improvement, what is the biggest difference that people should believe in this defensive line's pass rush and getting better after last year when you guys only had in the middle of 30-something sacks as a team?
There's a lot of mistakes made last year and a lot of missed opportunities, but we focus on trying to, you know, get in there, study our scheme a lot better, study the people, and then just go out there and do what we can do. And then, you know, we'd had years that we'd been up, we had years that we'd been down. I feel like we didn't all made a lot of improvement. This year is going to be an up year for us.
Half a second quicker always helps. Thanks, DeMontre.
That's right. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. The best thing about DeMontre Moore, he's 21 years old. He's a young man. He's got a bright future ahead of him. Now, Giants fans who come to the Quest Diagnostics training camp facilities here get to take Instagrams, and they send them out. Look at this. Intro roll. Good piece there. There's David Dealing. And getting autographs is nothing better than coming to Giants camp. You can do it. Submit your photos from practice to us at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There are the appropriate spots to send them to. We hope to see more from you each and every day, and we'll show them to you again on Giants Training Camp Live. We're back with more. This time we focus on the defense. Big Blue, Big D, when we return on Giants Training Camp Live from Quest Diagnostics Training Center.
Hi, I'm John Mara from the New York Giants, and I accept this challenge on behalf of Dick Kelly, the Frates family, and on behalf of ALS Research. And I hereby nominate Woody Johnson, Robert Kraft, and Bill Belichick to do the same. Feels good.
And it feels so good that Roman Oben is now going to be part of the national challenge to raise awareness for ALS, as John Mara was. But I need help. It's too heavy. The guys on the crew are busy. They're running the cameras. But
we got some wires between us. So
we can do this later for you, right?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
I love it. John Mara getting involved. But the challenge out there to Woody Johnson and Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, will they do it? Will they stand up to the ice?
Hope so.
They better.
Well, if the owner of the Giants puts puts a challenge out there, you better accept it.
I would think so. I think they would. Now, the first team defense against Pittsburgh looked pretty solid, but what is going on? One big play is the kind of thing that gets under people's skins if you're a Giants fan. You can't expect perfection, but that one looked bad.
Well, it's a 46-yarder. It's a screen, and it was a play that you're going to have to see the first time, and then you fix it. One thing you didn't see after that play is, well, one thing that was encouraging was to see them stop them in the red zone. They didn't convert and go all the way and score a touchdown. But again, Prince, his angle, pursuit. I mean, this guy, Dree, I can't remember his last name.
Archer.
4.29 at the combine, fastest guy. I think he ran that across the middle in like 7 seconds. So a lot of speed, but it was encouraging to see Prince's angle of pursuit, and obviously they didn't let them get in the end zone.
Yeah, that was big, I'll tell you. The other thing in that game that was kind of annoying to everybody was all the penalties. I mean, it's been all over the league, really, in every preseason game. Walter Thurman was talking about how he's going to change the way he plays with the emphasis on all this illegal contact and the flags against defensive backs. Here he is.
I mean, I'm not going to change my game of how I play the cornerback position. You know, I mean, I had a play earlier on Lance Moore, and the ref came to me and was like, you know, I could have got you for holding, but I wasn't holding. He's running it to me. He's trying to contact. My hands are off, and I have tight coverage. So it's like, I can't have tight coverage, or you can throw a flag on me because my coverage is tight. I don't know. Like I was saying earlier, it's an offensive league now, and it's really putting the defensive players in a bind.
We're going to have to do a better job of coaching it. You know, it's 2 weeks in a row, and we're still guilty of pass interference and holding and illegal contact and all those things. So we've got to get that straightened around. I was hoping that we would fare better this week, having gone through what we did a week ago, but it wasn't the case.
All right, time for our Twitter question of the week. How will the emphasis on contact with the wide receivers affect the game this year, do you think?
Well, I think now in training camp is when you're seeing it. They used to get a 5-yard-ish, 5 to 7-yard cushion. Now, really, at 4.5 yards, you better get your hands off the receiver and let him come out of his break. So, again, preseason is something when you're seeing these guys getting used to these new rules, or any time a new rule is put in place that affects receivers and cornerbacks.
I think the offensive receivers are making things happen, too. They're creating contact, and it's tough for a defensive back to stay away from a guy who's supposed to be guarding. All right. Garden of Dreams was here today at camp. What a day for all these kids meeting Victor Cruz and the rest of the Giants. Had their shirts on. MSG has a great initiative for young kids around our area, getting them to places they wouldn't normally get to. I mean, you're a young kid. How good is this?
No, it's great, and it's good these kids have a good opportunity to come to practice. I mean, 8, 9, 10 years old, seeing an NFL player. I mean, that's tremendous. You remember these kind of things the rest of your life.
Yeah, and the Giant players are so cooperative. They're so good with these kids. So thanks to the Garden of Dreams for bringing those young people here to Giants camp today. So it's Giants camp live, and it happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. Bob Poppel will be back with Howard Cross. And we hope you'll join us at 6 p.m. every night to recap it here on MSG. For Roman Oben, I'm Mike Crispino. Thanks for joining us on Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess.
NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster, the official resale marketplace where fans buy and sell Giants tickets.